This episode is sponsored by VTech.
On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, we're joined by analyst J.R. Simmons. Graham and I talk about all sorts of fun stuff. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great episode. People are going to get mad at me. It's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to it.
You got to peel back the sausage and show them how it's made.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
That's how we're going to start this episode. Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm Graham Potter.
DJ Graham Potter.
Yeah, you seem to be in a funny mood, David.
Well, you're the one who's over here doing some beatboxing. Let's hear that.
Oh, dear. You got me in a lighthearted mood.
Absolutely. I wouldn't want you any other way.
No, that's awesome.
So, yes.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Today, I'm excited about today's guest, J.R. Simmons.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Yep.
Been around the industry forever, knows so much. I could have... I'll let out a little secret to our listeners. We already recorded the interview. This is a secret of the podcast industry.
David, you've blown the interviews. You've blown the myth.
Listen, you gotta peel back the sausage and show them how it's made.
Okay.
Maybe the onion, is that a better reference for you?
Probably, yeah.
You don't peel back a sausage, I guess. All right, we'll leave that out.
But JR was really fascinating.
Peel back an onion.
We really blown this, but there. Let's carry on.
No, JR was great. Really, really fascinating guest. I could have asked him 100 questions. Yeah. Didn't want to take up too much of his time. He's out there in Napa tasting wine. I mean, I wouldn't have done the podcast at all if I was him.
Working and tasting wine. And he took time out to break from that.
Well, you know, when you're tasting a lot of wine, you do need like a 20-minute break because you're drinking a lot. You know, it's a lot.
Yeah, I guess.
You need a chauffeur as well.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you, is chauffeur, is that an English? That's a French word, maybe.
Chauffeur.
I don't know about origins of words. Anyways, so I think one of the interesting points that came up in the competition with JR is about how do you target the right people to make the best decisions in your business? And it's like, is the CIO the right person to go to? Is it the CTO? Or is it more of the person in your in the department?
Yeah. And I
think that's an interesting topic.
Yeah, and you got people that are real stakeholders in a business that really need to have input on what have you. So, yeah, but I think it's a great subject. I think we should explore more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've read a lot on Gartner and Frost and Sullivan and some others on this topic because for us it's interesting because you could go into a department within a business and you could sell the product, right? You could sell the UC solution. And then you could use that as more of like a Trojan horse to get into the rest of the business, and you could work it like that. Especially if you're an MSP, if you're selling multiple products, right? You go out there, you sell, desktop as a service, or you sell remote, or you sell backup, or whatever the case is. If you can sell something to a business unit, and then they're using it, and they become your spokesperson internally for the company, that's more powerful than anything you're going to get anywhere else. Well, if someone else comes from your other side of the business and says, "We're using this; it's working really well. Why aren't we using this as company wide?" It's a no-brainer.
Great use case, better adoption. Everybody jumps on it, and what have you.
And I think contact center is really the best example of this, right? Because
I think contact centers have now come from where they were years ago. Where a lot of organizations that perhaps couldn't have afforded, wanted to do a contact
before center. They were these giant behemoth things.
Now you've got little small departments that are kind of getting into this and doing things. So it's appealing more to the masses than perhaps it was years ago. So many other.
It's more affordable too.
Yeah, it is.
It's more affordable. It's easier to implement.
Yeah.
You can run it in the cloud. Yeah. I mean, it's super. It's just it's an easier adoption process. Yeah. And so if a customer had. If they had a group inside that was taking a lot of calls that, they didn't want to have a contact center for the whole company, that the department, I mean, that's the kind of sell you could go in and you could make, and then you could maybe hopefully expand out into a full UC solution one day.
Sure.
And I think that's an interesting topic that is becoming, I think, more and more or increasingly important in today's selling world.
So what have you been up to recently then?
That's it. You're not gonna leave. You're gonna leave me hanging on that. No, I feel like you're leaving me hanging on this topic a little.
Yeah,
bit.
I know you're motivated by it, and you're fired up by it, and whatever. And we're gonna use that as a as a means to interview somebody at a future date to be determined.
So not JR.
But yeah, I mean, they're gonna get to hear what JR got to speak about. So, but I think it was fascinating actually.
No, he was a really good guest.
A lot of depth in his background and knowledge and what have you. And so fascinating.
So what have I been up to?
Yeah,
not much, man. Just working. Yeah. Just working.
Cool. How's the family doing?
Did a little traveling. I was in California visiting some partners.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I was out in San Francisco, in Santa Clara, in Los Angeles. Did a three-day, three-night trip to California.
Awesome.
Visited a couple of partners. It was really good. Very, very good trip. And hopefully, we'll see the fruits of that labor moving forward. But so that was fun. And then just working away, getting ready for some exciting product releases here at Star to Star.
Yeah, I've been working with your team directly.
Yes, don't let the cat out of the bag, Mr. Potter. And then, that's really it. Enjoying this beautiful Sarasota weather. I was at the beach over the weekend.
Yeah, the weather's awesome at the
moment. Yeah, the weather right now is...
Out on the boat last Sunday.
So, yeah.
Got to be done. All good.
So, should we talk to JR now?
Yeah, let's get him up.
Should we play the interview that we already recorded?
Yeah, can we dial him up?
I don't think Frederick's happy that I talked, that I did this. He's giving me a, he's shaking his head at me.
Frederick von Weiss, he's looking at you. He's giving you that old-fashioned.
Don't worry, Fred. No one will be upset. I promise you. It'll be okay.
Let's go with it.
Smile.
Let's go.
Roll the tape. Today, Graham and I are joined by J.R. Simmons, who is the president and principal consultant for Comm Group, Inc. Welcome, J.R. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
And where do we find you today, J.R.? Are you...
You're out working somewhere. You're out consulting somewhere. But I suspect you're in a better place than we are at this point in time.
So. Absolutely.
Well, today I'm in the Napa Valley area. Hey. I'm working with the school district down here. I'm normally home-based up in the Kirkland, Washington area near Seattle, but I do get around. I have clients all throughout the U.S.
Well, that definitely sounds better than... Sarasota's pretty nice.
Sarasota is the best beaches in
But we don't have the wine. We don't have the wine,
unfortunately. Yeah. So, that's a kind of downer for most of
them. They do have some vineyards in Florida. Have you ever been to one? They're terrible. The wine tastes like fruit.
You know what Dave is trying to do, JR? He's trying to, I've discovered his ruse here with this. He tries to promote these things and in the hope that someone's going to listen to the podcast and send him things. So recently I brought a piece of technology back from the late 60s on, because I'm an old guy, he's a young guy, and I brought a stylophone on the show, which was really a small synthesizer, which you may recognize the sound.
No one has ever recognized
that. Yeah, from listening to David Bowie, Space Oddity, it was a piece of technology that was actually used in that. They played a piece in it. So it was made famous by that. So I brought this out and played it and marveled at our listeners and David in particular. And sure enough, the Stylophone Company, which is still around today, brought out a new generation device. They saw heard the podcast, and they sent him a brand new shiny stylophone. So that's why he's asking about wine.
I do like wine, yes. Anyways, we digress.
Yeah, we digress.
So, JR, tell us a little bit. Go ahead.
One of my clients actually is a winery, and they're offering on more than one occasion to pay me back in wine instead of dollars.
Do it. Do it.
Deal.
Bring back the old bartering. That's what I say. I mean, those days are awesome. So.
Now, are they looking to do some advertising on a very influential podcast?
Because international podcast.
We would take wine as a barter for that. Absolutely.
International podcast. Yes, we had a guest on last week from Hong Kong.
That's true. Yeah. And we've had Israel and Ireland. Yeah. Anyways, so JR, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, about Comm Group. What do you guys do? Give us a little bit of background.
Well, Comm Group is a general consulting firm, which there aren't as many of those as there used to be. There's a lot more specialization now, but our firm has enough people in it and enough experience that we get into a lot of different areas. And myself, my background's been covering many of those areas as well. So been consulting for over 33 years now and done everything from telephone systems, contact centers, wiring projects, both fiber and copper, a lot of data networks, converged networks. Got involved in IP telephony before IP telephony was popular. And a lot of this comes flowing up through the work we do on the strategic side. We do a lot of strategic planning and analysis of the marketplace and making sure that our clients understand as they're trying to make their decisions what impact the decisions have on their business. And what trends in the industry are driving the very considerations that they have to factor in, because it's really easy to look backwards and make a decision on, well, given what's gone on, this is what I would do. It's a little harder sometimes to look forward and say, where are we headed and how does that affect my decision?
So what are the types of projects that you work with your clients now? What are the things that, you know, you're working on now inside a Comm Group, and what kind of questions are you getting from your current clients?
Well, it's quite a spread, actually, especially since we have staff with individual specialization as well. But some of the fun projects we've worked on, we were just wrapping up a project to establish the collaboration strategy for a hospital group that has over 200,000 employees. Because they had grown by acquisition, they had lots of different strategies from each of the individual subgroups, some of which were as large as 40 or 50,000 people doing a variety of things. And they needed to pull it all together and get a roadmap on how to get from here to there. So that was a great bit of fun to come together with a wide variety of people with a lot of different backgrounds, input, and quite frankly, preferences or prejudices even, and come up with a collaborative strategy to work for the entire organization.
Yeah, that everybody accepts.
A lot of our projects are, oh, yes. But a lot of our projects are, you know, a lot smaller than that. We have clients as small as, you know, maybe just 100 people, or we're working with a call center client right now who's looking to come up with a new contact center solution, and they only have about 40 agents. So we've had very large, very small, a lot of in between. What's common among almost all of our projects is the need to get a grip on where are things headed, because the rate of change has increased so much that the decisions that we were considering just a few years ago have already shifted again to different, even if there's some of the same players involved, the decisions we're making are new all over again. So we're working on a project right now that included replacing all the layer two, layer three network components for a client. Well, a couple of years ago, that was, you know, pretty standard, you know, switches and routers were switches and routers. Well, now you've got software-defined networking. You've got a lot of new capabilities and options. So it requires a different point of view there. And obviously, there's some other trends going on that definitely have to be factored in.
Yeah, the market's moving, technology's moving so fast, you know, there's a lot of disruption in the marketplace, and we get on to that a little bit later as well with your thoughts on some of the recent activities that have gone on in the market with acquisition. But I'm an old phone guy from many, many years ago. I've been in the industry for some 40-something years. So I would think from your perspective, it must be fascinating, because you probably get to talk to companies that are still working with some architecture and some systems that are probably getting on a little bit in years now as well. So starting to make that brave new or make that change into the brave new world of the technology we exist and we all understand today. So what are I'm sure you see some really, really older systems that are still around out there today.
Oh, yes. There's definitely a change from the days of sweating an asset for a 25-year life out of a phone system to where we are now. But since some of those are still out there, we still see some old systems that need to be replaced as part of the process. But it's a different story now, too, because in the old days, you replaced a phone system with a phone system.
Yep.
Now, it may have changed in technology. Maybe, you know, it was IP instead of digital, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still mostly phone system. Well, now we're not replacing phone systems with phone systems. Even if we go into a cloud solution, for example, it's still not a telephony solution replacing a telephony solution. Now we're looking at the full stack of collaborative issues, everything from the conferencing, the texting, the different various forms of communicating as a whole, instead of just saying, well, we have old telephones, we need new telephones.
It boggles my mind when I think about some of the, and I heard of one, I saw one of our partners actually, who's a good friend, post something on Facebook last week. Had gone out to a customer with an issue where a system had crashed and burned, and he posted a photograph of a PCB, of a motherboard that had clearly burnt out and whatever. And I think, well, how do you get parts of these? I mean, the guy didn't have a part on his wagon. He wasn't able to do anything about it. And that probably meant that customer's going to be out of service for a day, 2 days, maybe even a week. How do people get parts for those things, or even afford to be, you know, to be able to afford to buy things for those now? Because there must be a huge market, a leave behind market of people that are still existing on some of those older technologies. And you know, just an interesting thing. I don't lose sleep over it, but I find it fascinating. You know.
Yes, and even when there are parts available, or even if you have parts stocked, the old way of fixing things, you know, labor intensive, hardware intensive, and took time to do, even if you have everything on hand to fix it.
Sure. So can you tell us a bit about Congroove itself? It says, you know, you've been involved there since 2011. What was JR doing prior to that?
Well, actually, I had my own consulting firm. I became a consultant working for somebody else back in 1984.
Okay.
Bought out the original founder of that firm in 94. And then I merged my company with Gordon Darby's company in 2006. And that was when Gordon and I shared the ownership of Comgroup. Gordon retired in 2011, and I became the sole owner in 2011. So I've been doing much the same thing the whole time, but... when Gordon and I merged our two firms, it eliminated our biggest competition in the Northwest, which was kind of cool.
Awesome.
That works out well.
Way to go.
he retired, and I kept going on because one thing is I enjoy this. It's a great great industry.
Oh, it most certainly is. It most certainly is. So, yeah, you're also part of that well-known conglomerate of other analysts, BC Strategies, or formerly UC Strategies. Mm-hmm. So how was your involvement there? How did you get involved?
I feel like we've interviewed half the people there for this podcast. Had, the official spokespeople for BC.
Tracy Ventners the other day. We had Blair on, I think, as our first.
I can't even remember how. I mean, we've had all of them pretty much.
Well, it's interesting. The very first UC summit that was put on back in 2008, I attended. They asked me to come up and speak even, so I actually had a speaking slot in 2008. There wasn't a UC summit in 2009, and then in 2010, they picked it back up again. And I got to know all of the people on what was then UC Strategies. I've known many of them before that anyway, folks that had been in the consulting business for a long time. Very respected people, folks like Don Van Dorn, Marty Parker, just some great people.
Yeah.
Worked with Blair and Nick Stock and Jim Burton and just this whole group of people that are, some of them are behind the scenes and some of them are very visible. And they added experts as they went along. And every time they had an expert, like, I know that guy. You know, I knew Phil. I knew Phil when he was at Nortel and stuff like that. I got chatting with them one day and they said, well, you know, are you interested in becoming one? You know, I think I'd reached a position in the industry where, you know, I was doing some writing and speaking on a regular basis, and they asked me to join. Of course, the downside is you're supposed to, you know, publish things and stay involved, so it takes a little bit of time and effort. But it's such a great group. When we have a get-together like the UC Summit, now BC Summit, or we have a podcast, or we get together at a conference and chat, there's some of the greatest folks in the industry, smartest folks in the industry, and you know, you can listen to a guy like Michael Finneran or somebody else go on for a while and just be amazed at the depth of knowledge and the breadth of capabilities existing within this group. And I'm just proud to be a small part of it because it is such a wonderful feeling to be associated with the BC Strategies team.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, they're a good group, and we stay in close contact. Yeah,
absolutely.
In fact, a lot of us are contact and connected with them on Facebook, and I always watch with great fascination when they all converge on an event, and you can see everybody kind of connecting up with everybody. So fascinating.
So you said you're doing a lot of speaking. What are some of the topics you're talking about? Like, what are people interested in? What do they want to hear?
Well, that's interesting because I, unlike a lot of folks, I try to find topics that aren't everybody else is saying the same thing, or at least take a fresher look at what everybody else is doing. I try to do that in the articles I write as well. And that's not easy because there's so many people out there. It seems like every angle is covered sometimes. But a lot of what I was doing, for example, I had close to 15 different projects that I'd been involved in where Microsoft Link was being used as a telephony solution, not just as an IM tool, real early on in the process. So I gather some statistics and some insights from, you know, what was good, what was not so good, you know, sort of the good, bad, ugly, and lessons learned components of doing those. And I put together a few speeches on that for a couple years, you know, places like London and New Orleans, and even in with my local customers, giving them some of the insights on what we saw going on. But, you know, shortly after that, it became a much more common, popular topic, and everybody now will tell you the good, bad, the ugly of a Microsoft project. So sometimes looking for those different points of view is what I seek more than anything else. A lot of the conversations lately have been about the difference between cloud and premises. That was big for a while. Cloud, of course, is now one of those trends. Telephony solutions that are not based on premises are a much more rapidly growing segment of the industry with a lot more capabilities being presented, and they're not all the same. So sometimes what we try to do, for example, the product you folks put out, it's not the same as all the other cloud solutions. So getting people to understand what to ask, what to look for. A lot of times the speeches that I give and the articles I write are just trying to get that additional point of view out there.
Are your topics aimed more at the partner or at the more of the end user, customer, CIO, is it a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. It tends to be more at the either end user or decision maker of the client side, because that's where I spend most of my consulting time, is helping them come up with strategies and decisions, but not all the time. I just posted an article on the Vinod Jitter site recently where I was talking about how companies can provide great customer experience for their customers, and what difference does that make? You know, is it a difference maker? Which, of course, it is. So some suggestions on, I'll call it the vendor side, what could they do? And if you're a customer, how do you find customer? How does a customer find a vendor that provides a better customer experience? And it was a short article, so it doesn't go into tons of depth. But again, I was trying to point out that that there are differences out there if you know where to look for them, and companies should strive to be that type of different company.
In your take, in your opinion, has the decision maker changed? Has for a UC solution, or let's just say for an old phone solution, you know, you probably had to run that up all the way through maybe, you know, the CEO or, you know, the CIO. But mm-hmm. Have you seen that decision maker change to more of a business unit? And in what scenario does that make the most sense?
Right. The one area that we see some changes is in especially in contact center.
Yeah, I was going to say contact center,
the business and the IVRs, what they want out of those products is being driven much more by the business now than it used to be.
Sure.
It wasn't that many years ago that if the business wanted an IVR-style solution or a call center or any technology, really, they'd present the case one way or another to the IT department. The IT department would then be charged with finding and then implementing the solution. That process is much more collaborative now, where the IT and the business are coming. When we sit down with a client, we're seeing both of them involved. The IT department still has to support things, so they tend to still want it to fit within some overall strategies, be supportable, et cetera. But the business is much more making the decision on this vendor and this product and this solution fit are better for my business, and asking IT to figure out how to make it happen, rather than having IT make the decision, bring it back to the business, say, we've got the solution for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a challenge for our partners, though. As you may or may not know, we only sell through the channel. We're 100% channel company. And, you know, when our partners are going out there and talking to these customers, it's trying to find that right decision maker. And it can be, you know, like down to the contact center is a great example, because a marketing department or a sales team or a tech support group may be a group that wants to have a contact center, but maybe the whole company doesn't need it. So it's an interesting challenge, I think, that a lot of people struggle with in trying to find who the right decision maker is for that company.
Well, you got so many different stakeholders.
And I thought you guys just got an award for your channel partner program, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. CRN, I think the fourth year in a row on that. So that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that's great. But I think what's important is, this is the problem with any channel partner of any product in some respects, but what's the most efficient way to get their business to be successful? And you can waste an awful lot of time talking to somebody who's not a decision maker and find out that once you know, made some progress and everything else, that it gets squashed because you were at the wrong level or the wrong group. And I think that it's really important to understand that very few IT departments still will let the business make a decision in a vacuum. But the good news is the IT departments are not the sole decision makers anymore. So it does mean, I'll call it a multi-pronged approach or something like that, is often a much better way. You still have to have the IT department on your side because they can still torpedo you.
Yeah,
but
that's very true.
They're not they have some strength still. They still have ways of killing projects, but they are not always the ones actually deciding. And what I would encourage, what we as consultants encourage, and what I would think a channel partner would do, is encourage a business to get the right people in the room together. Because then it's a collaborative decision between the business and the people that have to support it. It can be consistent with both the IT goals and the business goals. Then it's a far easier way to get from, no action at all, or worse yet, a siloed decision made with not the right people in the room, to getting all the right people on the same plane, get them all together. And now when you go through implementation, follow up and support and everything else, you have all the right contacts. You can make sure everybody's happy with where you're headed.
Yeah, you get the right,
getting it all funneled through just one contact.
You get the right buy-in, you get much greater acceptance and whatever. So switching gears a little bit, JR, for our listeners, I found this really interesting in some of the notes I see about yourself, that you taught advanced telecommunication courses at a community college certificate program. So you can tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Oh, I've always liked the teaching aspect. In fact, that's one of the things that being a consultant has been great, because clients are asking me all the time to bring them up to speed, et cetera. But I like the formal teaching environment as well. I've been teaching a telecom 101 class for a company a couple times, and that's been a blast too. I like the aspect of sharing what I've learned or what I'm thinking and how to get from here to there. The certificate course that I taught a few years back was a lot of fun. And out of that class, in fact, two of my class attendees later became customers, which was great.
Oh, that's
and
that's
my future business partner, I did not know this was going to happen at the time, but Gordon Darby was in one of my traffic engineering classes. So it's a great way to both meet people as well as to satisfy my desire to teach. If teaching paid as well as consulting did, I'd probably just be a teacher.
So interesting that also, you're spending time in front of a lot of people. I know that you get, as an industry expert, you often get drawn into legal cases, and without giving any games or any things away that you shouldn't, can you give us a kind of a broad brush on some of the things that you might have been involved in without letting out too many trade secrets?
Yeah, without the government coming after
you? No, it's been fun to do that. That's more of a side thing that people have come to me and asked me for it, as opposed to, I don't go around knocking on doors saying, hey, do you need somebody that does this? But I've been located based upon, background and knowledge. And some of the cases have involved a telco versus an upstart company claiming the telco was using bad practices or something like that to squash their business. Or I've testified in front of utilities commissions on behalf of customers, especially depending upon things that they've considered. And I've got a decent track record of having been able to influence a few decisions along the way, which is fun. And then probably the big one was I was the key technology expert for the antitrust case against Avaya that
concluded
in 2014.
Interesting.
I was on the stand for 5 days.
Wow.
five days on the stand?
That takes some doing.
Yeah. That's but the side that I was working on got the original award, and then it was overturned based upon some procedural ruling. And then Avaya declared bankruptcy, and so I don't think the case ever went any further. But the original decision was, like I said, it supported the side that I was testifying on, but it didn't make it by a bad company. It just meant that, you know, in this case, it was judged not in their favor, but then because of some procedural rulings, they didn't have to pay anything. So then
that's awesome.
I can't imagine being on the stand for five days answering questions.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was a different experience. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I got to imagine.
Five. How many times did you plead the fifth?
I didn't have to. I was the expert, remember? I was the one on trial.
Yeah, but you never know.
They might ask you something.
Ask you some bad questions. So, JR, this has been fascinating.
Yeah, thanks so much
for
giving us
so much of your time. And I know you got to get back to your wine sampling and what have you. But
we always like to know with our guests, we always like to ask them one question. Do you have any pets at home?
I do have dogs.
Yay.
There's dogs. Wait, I heard dogs, plural.
More than one.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How many do you have?
Three beagles.
Oh, that's awesome.
Three beagles. What are their names?
Toby, Teddy, and Bailey.
Hey, awesome. So I'm a dog person. I got an aging Boston Terrier called Buster, but David's a wannabe dog owner. I think the record we've had on here is probably Sheila McGee Smith with six.
I thought it was seven.
Labradors. Wow. It might be seven now. I can't. Fritzy was the last one. I even know their names.
Three beagles.
Yes,
though. Awesome. Are they ranging in ages? Are they friendly dogs?
The beagles are about the friendliest dogs you can find. They're very social. They're all one year apart, so they're now 12, 13, and 14.
Wow.
They were older dogs when I met them because they were my wife's dogs, and when I met her, the pets took to me immediately because they're just so social, and I
that's awesome.
Fell in love with them too, so they're just great dogs.
That's good. We've had some different.
We had any beagles.
We had a rabbit recently.
We spoke
to Tracy recently, we talked about the goldfish and the worm.
Yeah, the gold
lived in a high rise.
What about that one guy who had a chinchilla?
Yeah, that's we've had all kinds of fascinating things. JR, we're taking up far too much of your time. I want
to
thank you personally for spending time with us. We really, really appreciate it.
And hopefully you'll come back on the podcast.
Yeah, fascinating to hear your story. And I'm sure we'll see you around at an event sometime soon. But we certainly watch a lot of the BC strategies and listen to a lot of the podcasts and what have you. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks, JR.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode is sponsored by VTech. When you choose Star2Star and VTech for your communication needs, you get more than just a phone system. You're building a relationship with two telecommunications market leaders. No matter what your communication needs, VTech offers a comprehensive and diverse portfolio of desktop, mobility, and conference devices that scale from small offices to enterprise-level corporations. Peace of mind is important to you, and that's why VTech supports your business and Star2Star with North America-based support professionals that truly understand your market to give you the support you need. To learn more about partnering with Star2Star and VTech, visit star2star.com and vtechphones.com.
I hope you enjoyed that fascinating interview with JR, because I can tell you the producing team here, Fred and Les, is not happy with me.
You took a lot of flack.
Yeah.
You've taken a lot of flack.
I just tried to be open and honest with our listeners, and they have given me – they're really mad at me, I feel.
Well, I think what you got to remember, or you got to get these guys to remember, is who pays the bills. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, just tell them.
Norm?
Just tell them. Oops. Yes. Maybe. Yes. Okay.
No, but that was a good interview.
That was a great interview.
I'd love to have JR back. Frederick, if you have JR back, you can have him back, and I won't tell him that we recorded the interview first. So hopefully that'll make you happy.
And I'm sure
we're
going to bump into JR at
Channel Partners. Absolutely.
So, good news.
All right. That was that. I'm stumbling over my words now because Frederick is so mad at me. I'm Graham Potter. I'm Graham Potter. And this is. You gotta peel back the sausage and show them how it's made.